Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord. Jeremiah said, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. Jeremiah said, it's like fire. Holy Ghost fire. Yeah. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power. I'm telling you, we got a Holy Ghost power tonight that has set your soul on fire. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on and worship with us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Hallelujah. All right, come on.
One Sunday morning, the praise was hot. I felt a presence that I couldn't describe.
All right, now come on.
It wasn't my emotions. It wasn't my
Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've got the Holy Ghost and fire. No, shake somebody by you and tell them, I got the Holy Ghost and I got the fire. Anybody glad to have the Holy Ghost tonight? You got a couple of minutes here to have a praise break. Praise break! Fire! Hey, fire! Praise God. I want to pick up on something we were working with this morning. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 21. So good to see all of our visitors in the house this evening. I hope that this is a strange experience for you. I hope this is a strange situation you find yourself in. I hope this is just not business as usual, normal. Praise God. Isaiah 28, verse 21 and 22. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do. Everyone say that he may do his work. Everybody say God works. God is working and God works in your life and you see God working and it's an incredible thing, but we know that God is also working with his left hand some places where you can't see him. Rest assured tonight, God is working on your behalf. God is working for your good, and that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Tell your neighbor, God is working for me. Say, God is working for my good. Anybody want God to work in your life? He's a good God. I'm not afraid of God. I want God in my home. I want him in my life. Praise God. That he may do his work, and would you say his strange work, and bring to pass his act. His strange act. This is specific to context here, but it's also very, very true in a generalized way about God and what God does. The world always thinks God and his ways are strange. And if you fit in very well with this world, you're not strange enough yet. And God's not working. I'm telling you, when God really does the work he desires to do, you don't fit in this world anymore. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You can't just be normal Bob and Sue on the job anymore. You can't be normal old neighbors anymore. But it's those people. I saw those people. Those people live by me. What do you mean by those? Oh my God, that's those Pentecostals. And they are strange. They're not normal. They're not like everybody else. You want that in your life, because every system in this world is going down, but the kingdom of God is in ascension right now. Praise God. Praise God. They're all around you this evening, creative theologies and inventive doctrines and indulgences and pardons, and every drunk on every bar stool and every preacher in every house and everybody you work with, they will tell you, I know God, I am saved, I have all that I need. It's all around you. But the crowd to whom Isaiah was speaking, they were very religious, but they did not know God. They were very religious, but when God came, they thought what he did was strange. When Jesus walked on this earth, he came to see one of the most religious cultures that has ever existed, and they could not understand him, and they could not identify him. They said, who are you? What are you doing? You don't do like we do. You're not all about washing your hands and pots and cups and all the traditions of the Jews. If you're waiting for me to start, I've already started tonight. God does a strange work, but only to those who don't know God. God does a strange work, but only to those that aren't plugged into the Word of God. Clap your hands and lift your voice. If you want to be seated, you can. A boat in a plane, no water nearby. God does a strange work. A burning bush and the voice of God to send a shepherd to tell Pharaoh what he needs to do. God does a strange work. He had them put blue fringe around their garments, and they didn't want to particularly, but God wanted to identify them and separate them as the people of God. They marched around a wall for 7 days, and then they shouted, and the walls came down. The world has never seen warfare like God's people conduct warfare. In the day of Jehoshaphat, they sent the choir into battle, and the archers and the spearmen and the chariots came later. God does a strange work. It's not like the world thinks it's going to be. It's not like the world thinks it is. It's not what the world is comfortable with. And you may be in a comfort zone tonight. And if God begins to knock on your heart, it may sound strange what God wants you to be and what God wants you to do. But here's the identifier right now. Strange for strange sake doesn't mean anything, doesn't have any value. But when the Word of God speaks to you and speaks God's will into your life, it will inevitably be strange against the backdrop of the world that you're living in. And as the day grows darker, you become stranger. And as the prophecy is fulfilled, what God has in you and what God is doing in you becomes all the more bizarre in the eyes of this world. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to go to war, Gideon. Great, God. I got 30,000. Too many. Let's pare it back to 300. All right. What do you want us to take? I want you to take a lamp and a pitcher and a shout. And I'm going to give you victory. The prophet said, fill the valley with ditches. And that was the key to victory. The Assyrian general who was a leper knocked on the house of the prophet of God. The prophet wouldn't even come out and see him. He didn't understand civility. He didn't understand protocol. You didn't send a servant out to talk to the premier general of the Syrian army. But he sent Gehazi out to say, go jump in the river. And in that simple command that infuriated the general was the healing power of God. Let me ask you tonight, do you want to look good or do you want to get healed? Do you want to seem good or do you want to really have a move of God? Do you want something that makes you comfortable or would you like to see the fire of God fall in your life? Somebody lift your hands and say, pour it out on me, God. Somebody lift your voice and say, here I am. Send me, God. Are you okay tonight? We're not going to do this long. I just want to finish what we started this morning. Clap your hands and shout unto him. Somebody talk in tongues right now. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, go ahead and talk in tongues. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can have it tonight. You say, I don't feel comfortable with people just talking in tongues when they want to. Paul said, I will pray in my understanding. I will pray in the spirit. Come on, get over your tradition. Come on, get over your comfort zone. You need to talk in tongues. You need the power of God moving in your life. Lay your hand on somebody and talk in tongues. With authority. I don't care how far we go tonight. I don't care. My God, have your way. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way, mighty God. Speak to us. Deal with us. Lay your hand upon us, oh God. Do your work. Do your strange work. Do your work. Do your strange work. Praise God. David is a king, but he takes off his kingly robes and in a linen ephod, a simple priest's garment, he dances with all of his might down Main Street, leaping and dancing and running. And ask me why, and I can't begin to tell you why people think it's appropriate to sit in church with their hands folded. Why they think that's reverence. Why they think that pleases God. The devil's had his hand in the mix. The devil's had his hand in the doctrinal mix for thousands of years. And what he's produced is a religious people without a flow of God. And the moving of God seems strange to them tonight. But I don't want it to be strange to me. I want to feel at home in the house of the prophet. I want to feel at home under the flow of the Holy Ghost. I want to feel at home when God begins to move. Woo! Yeah, I recognize that. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Word of God moving. Oh, yes, this is what I'm hungry for. Yes, this is what I'm thirsty for. You can be bored to death in a library, but we're in the house of God tonight. We've come to hear from God. We've come to embrace the things of God. Way too late in the dispensation for dead, dull, boring, pointless, dried up church. With form and history and legacy and proper protocol, but without an ounce of the anointing of God, those things won't help your family. They won't keep your children. They won't deliver a drug addict. They won't break the chains of alcoholism. They won't change your mind. But one moment in the presence of God can change everything. God, somebody just shout about it if you know it's true. When he came to the earth, he had them lay him in a manger. King, the creator of the universe. Strange. When he left his whole program in the hands of 11. They were uneducated Galileans. And God Almighty left what he had planned for the generations in the hands of these men, one of whom had just denied him a few nights before and cursed and said, I don't know him. And two who were getting their mama in on a power play because they wanted to be one on his right hand and one on his left hand. Politics was beginning in the church. They had no idea they were asking to be crucified along beside him, but that's another. He left it with those disciples. And this is what the world said about them. When it broke loose, those Galileans from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth, when they came into a certain town, the residents of that town, in complaining to their local government, said, these are those who have turned their world upside down. Now they've come here. What the world sees is upside down. If you're on board with the Word of God and the paradoxical nature of such things, what the world sees is upside down is finally right side up. Praise God. Don't you see it? You're trying to live right side up in an upside down world. And when you begin to do the work of God, they accuse you of trying to turn things upside down. You're trying to make trouble. You're trying to judge people. You're trying to say things that are too hard and too exclusive. Nobody believes what you're preaching. Nobody believes what you're saying. But I've got the chapter, and I've got the line, and I've got the Word of God, and I have no choice but to declare what thus saith the Word of God. And I've just got to tell you tonight, if nobody in the whole world believes it, it's true. If you're looking for popularity, you're in the wrong place. The little sister preached about popularity tonight. You're in the wrong place if you're looking for being popular in this world. Jesus said the world hated him and it's going to hate you. If the world doesn't hate you for your faith yet, my God, you might need a little better charge in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what kind of day this is. This is a day for drawing a line. The world's on one side and God's people are on the other. We love them. He died for them. We want to save them, but we won't save them by being like them. You won't help them by getting in the pig pen with them. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you unto myself. Ah, somebody ought to shout about it. It sounds a little bit strange, but God is doing a strange work. And let me tell you, if Israel thought it was strange, and if the Pharisees of Jesus' day thought it was strange, God's about to do his strangest work in these last days, the days of his coming. I feel it in the air. I feel it in the Word of God. I can hear it in the Holy Ghost. Anybody feel an anointing coming down upon your life? Have you been feeling an anointing moving in your prayer life? An anointing in those tongues when you're praying? An anointing when you're laying hands on folks? Praise God. Praise God. Now this morning, we dealt with Isaiah chapter 29, verses 9 through 16. And an explanation as to why the manifestation of the Word of God seems strange to the world. That passage, verse 13, is quoted by Jesus in Mark chapter 7. And he says, "Full well you do reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions." He said, "Full well you nicely set aside," he's quoting from Isaiah. The NIV says, "You nicely set aside the Word of God, that you may keep your own traditions." You see, in our culture, very Christian culture, everybody goes to church. Everybody knows God. I'm talking about the Bible Belt and Birmingham. Everybody knows God. Every drunk on every bar stool knows God. Everybody on your job will tell you they're saved. We're in a culture that is super religious. And they don't know God. Jesus tells them, "You set aside the Word of God that you may keep your own traditions." Praise God. And in verse 14, "Therefore, behold, I'll proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." Earlier in this passage, he said it's going to be like a book that is sealed, and you take it to a learned man and say, "Tell me what this says." And the learned man says, "I can't because it's sealed." And you take it to an unlearned or unlearned man, and he says, "I can't because I'm unlearned." And that's exactly where you find yourself in Birmingham, Alabama in 2008. I want to know why, when Jesus left the keys in Peter's hand and when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," he left the keys in the hand of Simon Simon Peter. And on the birthday of the church, when the church first began, the people in the crowd says, "What does all this mean? We hear these Galileans speaking in other tongues. What does it mean?" And Peter, standing up with the 11, he began to preach them a sermon about Jesus crucified, buried, and resurrected. And then they believed in their heart, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In this Bible, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, the recurring theme of New Testament salvation, repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus. Nobody in the Bible was sprinkled. Nobody in the Bible was sprinkled. Everybody in the Bible was baptized in Jesus' name. How do you get there? 300 years after the church began, the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church dawned, and they started sprinkling babies. And when Martin Luther and the Protestants broke away, several groups of them kept sprinkling. But they were 300 and 1200 years after the beginning of the church. Where do you want to go for your information? You better go back to the Word of God. You say everybody believes in the Trinity. You can't find it in the Word of God. Everybody's baptized in the Trinity. You won't find anybody baptized in the Word of God in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You want to know why? Because they knew the name of the Father. They knew the name of the Son. They knew the name of the Holy Ghost. The name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. The baby was the Mighty God. And what's his name?
Jesus.
The Everlasting Father. The baby was the Everlasting Father. And what's his name?
Jesus.
So Simon Peter knew how to obey the commandment, go into all the world, teach them, baptize them in the name, singular, of the, look, this is not rocket science. If you're not bound by tradition, you don't have a problem with this. If you're not bound by family legacy, you don't have a problem with this. Your problem is in your tradition. Your problem is in breaking away from your mama or your daddy or your preacher or your grandma. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. But God, if God's word seems strange to you, you're bound up. You've set aside the word of God. At Samaria, Philip baptized them in the 8th chapter of Acts in Jesus' name. At the house of Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, Peter baptized them in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 19, Paul met certain disciples at Ephesus. Apollos had been through. He baptized them as he had been taught by John the Baptist. And now Peter's there. Paul is there. And Paul says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And those believers said, "We didn't know there was a Holy Ghost." He said, "You believe in, you don't have the Holy Ghost." He said, "How are you baptized?" Why would that be important? Because it was important to the apostles. You find preachers all over this town, they'll tell you, "Oh, it's just an ordinance. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're baptized or not." And you want to talk baptism with them? And you know where they're going to take you? Well, what about the thief on the cross? Theological morons! What about the thief on the cross? Well, he wasn't baptized. Well, you're a genius. He lived under the law, Einstein. Jesus was not yet dead. The Holy Ghost was not yet poured out. The church didn't start until he ascended into heaven 40 days after the crucifixion and resurrection. Does this make sense to you? Can you hear this? The thief on the cross was saved under the law. I can tell you about the thief on the cross. He was a Jew. How do you know? He wasn't a Midianite, because if he had been, he'd had to go down off the cross and get circumcised to be saved. He was, if he had a Midianite, a Philistine, a Canaanite, he wouldn't have been in covenant with God to turn to his God and say, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was a Jew. And in the fall of the previous year, the high priest had made his way through the veil and into the Holy of Holies. And he had sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. And in an instant, all of Israel was made clean. And 2 minutes later, 98% of Israel was sinful again. But as it is in the New Testament, it was in the Old Testament, a prayer of repentance would reengage the covenant. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and leave their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. What did that thief on the cross do? He repented, standing in the covenant of the Mosaic law. But when Peter opened up the book in Acts chapter 2, it's a whole new ball game, and the church is born. And do you know? Nobody. You talk about strange. Nobody in the Word of God was saved by the sinner's prayer. Nobody in the Word of God accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. Nobody. Why does that sound strange to you? You ask yourself the question, where you've been eating, what you've been eating from. You've been eating from a traditional trough. I'm not trying to be ugly with you tonight. I'm trying to help you tonight. I care about you. I'm talking to you in the Holy Ghost tonight. My God, you need to get up and run from somebody that's not teaching you out of the Word of God. The consistent form of salvation message and method in the New Testament as found in the book of Acts is repentance. This church world will tell you, you don't have to repent of your sins. You can keep on sinning like that. Everybody sins like that. You can go on and live like that. Well, you can't. The first step in the door is repentance. You must be baptized in water, immersed in water, in the name of Jesus, to have your sins forgiven. That's what the book says. Ananias tells Paul, arise and be baptized. This is 22. Give it to me, Travis. What is it, 22 and 7, 22 and 17 of Acts? We're waiting. 22 and 16, Ananias is telling Paul, at Paul's conversion, what are you waiting on, Paul? Get up and be baptized. And what did that New Testament church believe? They believed that your sins were washed away in baptism. Now, let's do the little puzzle. What can wash away my sin? Very, very good. What can make me whole again? If Ananias said that baptism washed away your sins, we know it's not the water, and we know it's not Ananias. What happens when you obey the scripture and you go, you say, well, that sounds really strange to me. Well, shout and make a wall come down and spend 100 years building a boat and load up two of every animal. Oh, don't tell me about how strange God is. Let me just tell you, read the book. Ananias said it's for the cleansing of your sin. Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for, give me Acts 2:38. Peter, the first pope, baptized in Jesus' name for remission. What does remission mean? Forgiveness, cleansing, the settling of the sin issue. What happens when you go down in the water? Well, why doesn't anybody believe that? Because when the Protestants broke away from the Catholics, they were so fed up with do this and bow down and genuflect and don't eat this and don't do that. And they said, I'm tired of the works thing. So now it's salvation without works. You don't have to do anything. You just think a thought. Jesus died for my sins, and you're saved. Praise the Lord, you're saved. But nobody in the whole of the Word of God was saved that way. But they were baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Praise God. Why is it that 99.9% of the church world today believes in the Trinity? Because they're all good Catholics. Now, if I just made you angry, you've adopted a Catholic baptism. You've adopted a Catholic theology. That's a fact of history. That didn't begin in the Word of God. That began 300 years after the book of Acts in the Roman Catholic Church. And the Pope said in the early 1980s that you were Catholic. If you've been baptized into titles, I wouldn't wait till the end of the service. I'd go stand by that door right over there, and I would say, tonight, baptize me in the name of Jesus Christ, the name of God the Creator, the name of my Savior. I wouldn't wait another moment. I'd break my neck getting to that door right now. I'd stand right there until somebody brought me a robe. Praise God. Acts chapter 2, they received the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 10, they received the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 19, Paul laid his hand on them, and when they had been filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. Praise God. So let me ask you, how do you know whether you got the Holy Ghost or not? Well, that's how they knew in the Bible. But you see, the Roman Catholic Church discontinued getting the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And then the Protestants in the Reformation, they continued the discontinuation of receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And they said, it doesn't matter. And so today in many areas when you find yourself moving in the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues, religious people think it's strange. They think it's strange that you emphasize it. They think it's strange that you want people to receive it. They think it's strange. It's a strange work, but it's the work of God. It's not the work of man. That business about, oh, just confess and believe and you'll be saved, that's the work of man. That's the work of man. You want to find yourself in the Word of God? Open up the book of Acts and see what the narrative history of the church is all about. They received the Holy Ghost. They talked in tongues. I want to go a little bit further with you. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to take you past 8:30. I'm going to stop here in just a minute. But I want you to know and understand. And I know we've taken this thing off past the emotional peak and back down to level ground again. But I want you to hear this. In the Old or the New Testament, it is inescapable. Separation is the message of the Word of God. Come out from among them and be ye separate. You say that's strange. I'm telling you, you can't love what they love. You can't go where they go. You can't do what they do. You can't celebrate what they celebrate and be right with God. My God, if you love Hollywood, well, bless your heart. But if you love God, you need to get Hollywood out of your house. If you love the honky-tonks, well, it's America. You do what you want to do. But if you love God, you got to come out of the honky-tonks. You got to come out of the drug dens. You got to turn loose of everything that's like the world. It doesn't do you any good to come out of the honky-tonk and have it playing in your car. Oh, let me tell you something. You roll the clock back 80, 90 years, I'd have gotten an amen right there from a Methodist congregation. About coming out of the world. About loving the world. About worldly music. About holiness. Methodists used to shout about holiness. Baptists used to shout about holiness. Where is all that gone? Who's converting who? Who's got the message in the world today? I want you to know the pulpits have grown silent and the people have itching ears and they want to hear what they want to hear. But if you want to hear something pleasing and something non-biblical, you're going to have to go somewhere else. Because as long as this pulpit is in operation, I'm going to tell you what thus saith the Word of God. You can't love the world and be the friend of God. Somebody ought to shout about that a little bit. Help me. Help me. Oh, I loved this youth explosion. I loved it. Brother Marks had the kids. He said, I want everybody with a dysfunctional family, everybody in a blended home, everybody with parents that are divorced, everybody with a family that's going through stress and trouble, come up on the platform. He probably had 200-300 kids up on the platform. Packed like sardines. And they had prayer. And they began to pray. And the Holy Ghost began to move. And he talked about intercession. And he talked about moving in the Holy Ghost. And I began to hear young people down in that altar. Ooh, ooh. I began to, let me tell you, I was raised in church all my life. I never heard any of that. They'd have shut you down in a heartbeat in that church I was raised in. But I watched these kids trembling under the power of God. Now, folks that don't understand that, they think that's strange. But that's all woven through the Word of God, this business of the Holy Ghost moving on humanity, falling on your face before God, crying out to God, stammering lips, and another tongue. Praise God. Praise God. If that's strange to you, come on back to the Word of God. If that's strange to you, come on back to the Word of God. I watched these kids pray, and then for an affirmation, he opened up a little hole here behind the pulpit, and they had 17 kids come up that had never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He invited them to come up and receive it, and in that moment, all those children began to lay their hands on one another. 13 of those kids got the Holy Ghost right there behind that pulpit. How do you know they got it? Because they talked in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Now, I haven't been around this a long time. It's a sudden, and I've been doing this for about 34 years now. Being Pentecostal and shouting and dancing and talking in tongues. Come walk with me. And when we came, I was a little Baptist kid and she was a Presbyterian / Catholic. And we didn't know beans about Holy Ghost. But we've been around for a little while. And you know what? Where a healthy church is operating and the move of God is there, there's always a shout in the house. I said there's always a shout in the house. There's always somebody talking in tongues. Somebody doing the Holy Ghost herky-jerky. Somebody feeling that pop and that jerk in the Holy Ghost. You can see them sitting back there just. Now, if you don't know about that, that's strange. But we're at home in that now. We were a bunch of freaks from the 60s, 70s. Druggers and rockers. And I'm not going to tell the story about her ODing and looking out on the stars and saying, God, I know. Because she gets embarrassed when I talk about that, because preacher's wives aren't supposed to have a history like that. But if I were going to tell you the story, I'd say she looked out the window. And she said, God, you made all the heavens. It seems like you could help us to find you. If you're real, if you could help me to find you, I'd serve you. But if I've got to be a Presbyterian, I'll have to just go to hell. Now, you thought that was ugly, but I'm telling you, there's no life in that junk. There's no hope in that junk. It is perpetually going down. Somebody needs to sound a clarion call and say, wake up. The world is lost without God. And in Birmingham, they're asleep. Bound up. in religion. Everybody's saved. Don't pull on the security blanket. Don't shake the bed. Don't ruffle the feathers. Don't tell me I got to do anything or be anything or change anything. Just let me sleep on. Just let me sleep on. I can't do it. Can't do it. I want somebody right now just shout a little bit. I want God to do his strange work. I want somebody to talk in tongues right now. If you never received the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, come right here. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. You'll go out of this place talking in tongues. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, come down to this altar right now. God will wash your sins away tonight. Pray, church. Pray, church. Pray, church. Shout, church. Dance, church. It's strange. The world doesn't recognize it. But it's the work of God. We got one praying for the Holy Ghost. God's going to give it, baby, the Holy Ghost tonight. Shout. Let the children shout. God's going to fill this suite, baby, with the Holy Ghost tonight. What he done for me, when I think of his goodness, how he set me free, I wanna shout, shout, shout all night. When I think of his goodness, how he set me free, I wanna shout, shout, shout all night. Come on, come on. When I... Help me, Sister Bonnie. Come on, if you'll open your heart, God will give you the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on down to this altar. Let God bless you tonight.
Well, when I think of the goodness,
church, God's gonna pour out the Holy Ghost tonight.
Well, when I think of the goodness done for me,
when I think of his goodness, how he set me free.
Yeah, all night, yeah,
all night,
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 all night. Well, when I think of the goodness, what he done for me. Give the Lord the high.
She's talking in tongues. She's talking in tongues. That's the Holy Ghost. Just like in the Hallelujah, Word of God.
Hallelujah. Come on and give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah.
Everybody.
Somebody just let the Lord have his way
Come
with you.
Come on and give the Lord the highest praise.
Hallelujah.
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 Come
on and give the Lord.
She's going down in the water in Jesus' name. Just like the Bible says. Dance, dance, dance all night.
All night, all night. When I think of His goodness. It's good.